believe it or not, we are going to pick up with the last 15 minutes we have tonight, and we're going to jump back into lesson 54. So I want you to turn, I think it's going to probably be page 267, and I think I left off at the very bottom of this page 5 weeks ago. If I didn't, don't tell me, because you'll just discourage me. But I think that's where I left off. I was hoping to get through more than I did last time. And so we'll finish up the bottom of this, and then we'll see if we get into the next page. Here we go. 2 Corinthians is entitled in this book, Joy in Ministry. But what you find in this letter is it's not only joy, it's also disappointments in ministry. And Paul is going to have to defend his authority, his apostleship, and he does so very directly. And sometimes it surprises you just how directly he addresses the issues and accusations people are leveling toward him. So where we left off, and I'm going to put these back up here. I'm not going back through these, but we're working our way through a list of seeing how Paul was trying to prove that he was an authentic apostle. And he was authentic in his ministry. So he argues several points, and I'm going to read these and we'll jump in with the last one. So he says, his conduct among them was holy. You cannot charge me with anything ungodly, unholy, inappropriate as I was among you. Number two, he says that their lives are actually the proof that he did teach them good things and not bad things. They are a letter to commend his ministry when people look at the people in Corinth. Third thing he says, when he was among them, he basically bore his soul. Open his heart to them. He didn't hold back. He loved them just like a father would his own children. He continues with his defense and says very bluntly that he did not wrong anyone, he did not corrupt anyone, and he did not defraud anyone. And you cannot lay an accusation at his feet for that. Then he jumped to the topic of money. Oh my goodness, how money causes so many issues for those in ministry. And he says, when I was with you, I didn't take a penny from you. It's not that I wasn't deserving of it, right? Because the Bible says those who preach the word, they also make their living by their preaching. So that's not the point. But he says, when I was there, I did not want you to accuse me of being in the ministry for money. So I didn't take any money from you. I used money from other churches. As they gave love offerings, I wouldn't have to be a burden to you, trying to prove his authenticity. Then I think we left off with this last week in chapter 11. Chapter 11 is where Paul talks about all the suffering. Shipwreck, he was beaten, he was left for dead, he was cold, he's been naked, he's been through everything. And he says, again, I'm trying to prove to you that I did not do this for the money and for the prestige. I suffered as an apostle among you. And that leads us to the last argument Paul gives, at least what's listed on this page, as he tries to prove his authority and authenticity as an apostle. Here's what he says, and we can turn to chapter 12 and look at this. He says, when I was among you, you saw the signs of a true apostle. And the signs of a true apostle, according to Paul, in verse 12, he says, God worked through me to perform the miraculous. Okay, signs, wonders, and miracles. Okay, these are things you would expect if this is an authentic apostle of the first century that Jesus has commissioned to minister in this way. And that's what Paul said he did. So let's look at the verse really quick, and then I want to point out something else in this section that is most people are aware of, but I want you to see where it is. So in chapter 12, verse 12, Paul says, the signs of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by these signs or attesting miracles and these wonders and these miracles or works of power. Now remember what I told you? It might have been in the Old Testament section of this study. We answered the question, what is the purpose of miracles in the Bible? The purpose of a miracle in the Bible is always to authenticate the message or the messenger. I mean, pretty much, that's why you saw the miraculous, to prove to people that this indeed is God's messenger. This is also God's message. So if Paul says when I was among you, first century, apostle, capital A, and I've got the authority to perform the miraculous, it was proving the authenticity of my ministry and my message, because God was working through me to bring healing to people, okay? To work these miracles and signs. So he's using that to prove his authority, that he's a real deal among the people. Now, let's back up just a little bit and let me show you where there is, in the same chapter, a mystery that most people are aware of in Paul's life, and that is what he called his thorn in the flesh. Okay, that's found in 2 Corinthians. So now if you look back, if you're at verse 12, go back up about, I guess it's about five verses or so. And this is where Paul talks about this thorn in his flesh. It appears in the start of chapter 12 that Paul, or that God enabled Paul to receive heavenly visions, was caught up to heaven, it says. And then Paul says in verse 7 that after this took place, because of the surpassing greatness of those revelations or visions, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself. Now you know what he's saying there. If you truly have an encounter with God that is supernatural, it's going to really, really be hard to remain humble after that. Now, not that you're bragging about it, but you're obviously going to be elevated among most other people in the church if you come in here and say, y'all ain't going to believe this, but God caught me up to heaven like, you know, John in the book of Revelation, and I saw some visions regarding the future, and it's like, wow. I mean, and look, we don't get to experience that. So here's what Paul says. Because of how great these revelations were, and I'd kind of like to know what they were. Maybe it was more of this New Testament he's writing, 13 letters he writes in this book. But he says, because of these revelations, to keep me from exalting myself and keep me humble, here's what he got. There is given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now I'll tell you right now, every Bible student, every Bible scholar, every seminary professor, every Christian that reads the Bible and cares wants to know, what was a thorn in Paul's flesh? Now, don't think it was a physical wooden splinter, because we all get those all the time if you mess with stuff enough. And sometimes they're not pleasant. So what Paul says is, if you think about, in fact, the word thorn is a lot more than just a splinter from a 2x4, too. But you think about a thorn, he says, listen, y'all, you talk about the aggravation and pain associated with a thorn. Whatever this was for Paul, he's like, it's very similar in my soul as an agitation, a constant reminder to me, don't you exalt yourself. So he says, to keep me from exalting myself, there is given to me a thorn in the flesh. And look what Paul, how Paul describes it. He says, this thorn, whatever that was actually a messenger of Satan himself. So God used the satanic world for his purposes to keep Paul humble. Or at least, that's the way it felt to Paul. A thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, and again, to keep me from exalting myself. What in the world? It makes you wonder, what did Paul struggle with that God used to keep him humble, where he would never think he was greater than he was after seeing these great visions in heaven? Okay, people guess. Most common guess, they think that it was something with his vision. Something with eyesight, a disease of the eye. Because later in, I think, the book of Galatians, Paul even says to the believers there, y'all love me so much, if you could have, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. So was it something with his eyesight? Was it loss of vision? Was it disease with his eyes that kept him from seeing very well? Maybe. Paul also later, some of these letters says, see with what large letters I'm signing my name. as if a person that can't see very well might write larger. Okay, we don't know. So something, maybe it was something with his eyesight and vision that became a thorn for him and kept him humble. Could be, may not be. Other people think that it was some kind of a hang-up, a temptation, a sin in Paul's life nobody knew about. But he continued struggling with that, and it kept him humbled before God and realized, you know what? I ain't all that after all, right? I can't even get victory over whatever this is in my life. Could be. We really don't know. And Paul doesn't tell us what it is. But the reason Paul got whatever this thorn was to keep him humble after taking a trip to heaven and receiving visions from God. Now, here's a question. When something like that comes into your life, and we don't always think of it as a thorn, but we may have thorns and we just don't realize that that's what God is doing in us. It could be. But when something like that does come your way, what do you do about it? Here's what I would say. What did Paul do about it? Well, let's read and see. Here's what Paul says. He's kind of bearing his soul. So he says, I received this thorn, messenger of Satan, to kind of buffet me, kind of beat me to keep me from exalting myself. So here's what I did in verse 8. So concerning this, I entreated, fancy word for pray, I entreated or prayed to the Lord three times that it might depart from me. So he prayed that God would take it away. Now I'll tell you this. Some of me wonders, why did he stop after three times? I mean, it's very likely it would have been 3 to 5, 6, 10 times a day I've been praying, times X number of years. But for some reason for Paul, it became three focused times of prayer. And he finally realized, you know what? God has sent this. So maybe I need something else to endure according to what God is allowing in my life. So here's what he says about it. I entreated God three times that it might depart from me, but here's the answer I got. Now listen, we don't always like this answer. But this sometimes is God's answer. Here's what he said. I asked God to take it away, whether it was eyesight, whatever it was. And God said to me, now this is what Paul, this is the Apostle Paul. He says, this is what God said to me. Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Is that going to satisfy you when you pray? Or do you keep on banging on heaven's door? No, God, you've got to. No. I ain't going on. Paul, my grace is sufficient for this. Now look what he says. Reason is my power is perfected in weakness. Ooh. You mean I don't have to have it all together? And I don't have to have the most polished sermon, all the theological terms, and heal all the people? I'm saying, no, Paul. When you're weak and can't figure it out, that's when I most shine through you. Now that must have been satisfying for Paul because he only prayed three times about it. And then he adds, here's Paul's conclusion. Okay, if that's the will of God for me in this fallen world and I've prayed and asked him to take it away and he said, no, my grace is sufficient, then here's what Paul decided. Here's what I'm going to do then. Most gladly, therefore, I'll just go ahead and boast about my weaknesses. And that way, the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content. Now look, do you see the changes happening in this man's life? He's gone from a point, I'm not sure he was complaining, but if it were me, a complaining prayer, Lord, you got to get this out of my life. I can't live with this. He's gone from that kind of prayer to a prayer of, oops, it's about you after all, isn't it? I'll tell you what then. I'm going to be joyful and I'm going to be glad that I've got all this weakness because then people can see the power of God in me. It takes a very spiritually mature person to come to that point. Therefore, I am well content then with weaknesses, with insults. Y'all just bring it on. With distresses, with persecution, with difficulty, for Christ's sake. And look, not just to go through it, but if it's for Christ's sake, because when I'm weak, then I realize the strength of God. That's when I'm strong. Oh my goodness. You ever feel that small when you read the Bible sometimes? Because if you're like me, I don't know about y'all, maybe you're more spiritual, and that's fine. I mean, I hope you are, that's fine. But I find myself complaining when I don't like things. Right?
Right.
And we beg, like, Lord, would you please intervene and please change this? I don't know. Can I be spiritually mature enough where I finally realize, you know what, Lord, just in case this is your will right now and you've allowed this, then maybe the answer is your grace is sufficient right now. And then you get a smile and say, therefore, I'm just going to boast in this and I'm going to be glad in this. Because when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. Like, wow. This is how far I fall short when I read something like this. So I want to put that in there. Your book doesn't have this, but this is a context of the thorn in the flesh. When Paul is defending his apostleship, and then he says in that next verse, or down near the end of verse 12, that when I was there with you, all these signs of miraculous work were done to prove to you that I was a true apostle. He's defending his apostleship. And remember I told you several times now, David Lanier, professor of New Testament Greek I had, loved that man. And he said in 2 Corinthians, Paul's trimming their nose hairs with a weed eater. Right? I mean, he is defending his apostleship. He's very blunt, very direct. And he's just making it very clear who he is. Because he's a real deal. So, I think we'll stop there. I know we don't get through a whole lot, but I also add a lot in that tonight because I want you to see the thorn in the flesh passage in the context of that. I think it's after 8 o'clock if that clock is not wrong. So that was a good start for us catching up over the past 5 weeks. Lots of things to pray for and update on and then jump back into the study.